Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So happy to see you, and to all our visitors, you're welcome. It's a wonderful moment to share the Word of God together. And I'm happy and I'm excited to finally come to our last part of our series that we've been going through, a journey through 1 John. And we are looking at the authenticity of Christianity, so Christian, which is authentic. And it has been a joy going through this journey from chapter 1 to today, chapter 5. You know, John is standing as a pastor with pastoral concerns. He's writing to a group of churches in Asia Minor, and those churches were actually affected by false teachers who were advocating for a mysterious way of reaching out to God. And they were bringing another version of Christianity and thinking that they were the elite. And only those who have been initiated by the elite people would actually arrive to what they used to call salvation. And so John is very much concerned about that. He's writing as a pastor, trying to help the church. So many things that we've actually covered so far. And let me just say up front that this chapter you see, chapter 5, verses 1 to 21, I'm sure you are from listening the reading of the word, it is very much loaded. Loaded with so much truth that we cannot manage to unpack in this sermon this morning. And for this reason, I suggest two things. First, you need to go through the Bible study group that we already have, where we will probably go into the depth of this passage. Secondly, I am suggesting that sometimes next year, we might come back to this book again and be able to unpack them in more details. Because I just feel like chapter 1, all the way, chapter 5, 1 up to 25, 21, is actually full of so much truths that we don't need to rush. But for today, we will see what the Lord has for us. I want you to keep that passage in mind as we go through John 5, 1 to 21. But we need God's help. Let me pray for God to help us together. Lord, we are so grateful this morning as we gather together in the fellowship of Christians and brothers and sisters together. Lord, we pray that this morning you will speak to our souls, that your words that have been written and translated in a language that we can understand, that will actually be well explained. Give me, Lord, the ability to be clear and faithful to your word. Pray for the Spirit of God, Lord, to work through in our hearts as we go through this beautiful passage of scripture that is just in front of us. God help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, you put your finger on the text that we already have. We will be navigating through that. Everything that I will be unpacking this morning will come from that very passage. And so please do not close your Bibles. Keep them open. Let me start by saying something that almost all of us will agree, that we are in Africa. And Africa, including Zambia, you will agree with me that it is a land where uncertainty reigns, full of unsure things. If you've been following the news, you'll hear what is happening in the eastern part of the DRC, Congo, that part of Uganda and Rwanda, and what is going on there. You'll see that a lot of people living in those areas, they'll know that not everything is really certain. And Africa is one of the continents, I can say Zambia particularly, is a country where we all agree that we live with a lot of uncertainties. We are not really sure of what is going on. I don't know about the area where you come from. We live in Mini Udindeke, very close to the airport there. And the schedule of load shedding is uncertain. You know, you don't really know when electricity will pop up. At times, we tend to think probably today or tomorrow. And when it comes, you know, even if it's in the middle of the night, you need to wake up and begin to iron or maybe to put your phone on charge and things. Why? Because you are not sure whether it to stay for it. I don't know. This is my, it's not only my personal experience. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
so power is really uncertain. Zesco is not doing good to us, you know. There's a lot of uncertainties in our country. Look at our economy. Look at the fluctuating way of the dollar, which has gone close to 30 now. You know, our economy hasn't been so stable. And you'll agree with me that life is now a little bit more difficult for so many of us. There's that instability in our economy here in Zambia. Not only that, but even our political inconsistency. We have so much promises from our leaders, and we are really not sure who can we trust, you know. Just a few years ago, we mobilized ourselves so strongly as a country to go and kick out PF out of power, and believing that for sure now we'll breathe when we have the UPND on power. Are we really certain? And then we go through all of these things, we say, oh my God, maybe it was a mistake what we did, and so forth. So much uncertainties lying in our country. And almost every single Zambian who is related to what I am talking about, we all have the question of, can anything in Zambia be certain? Can anything be really sure? It's a question that we have, all of us. Apart from that, Zambia, we are a culture that we are very much, many times, animistic. And we trust much in ancestral spirits, you know, and sometimes we want to be sure. Where do we go when you want to get something certain? Sometimes we go to our ancestors. People go and claim that they are able to speak to the living dead, those that are already gone, because we don't believe in Africa, especially in Zambia, that our brothers and sisters who have since gone, they've died, we don't believe that they've gone for good. We believe that somewhere, somehow, they come and live close to us. We can speak to them, we can inquire from them, and we have people who have got expertise, who they know, those who know how to get in touch with them. Those are the people that we follow. I want to speak to my mom, I want to speak to my dad, who's already gone. They help you how to get in touch with the living dead. It's one of our beliefs. That's where you probably want to go and get your assurance. Something is going on in your life, maybe at your place of work. Maybe you've been married for a long time and you've been looking for a baby. You haven't gotten a baby yet. You're not very sure of what is going on. Am I bewitched, or maybe something is wrong? Where do you get your certainty in Africa? You know, sometimes you go to ancestors. That's where we get, or maybe we use some charms, or we visit the village witch doctors, and many of them nowadays have turned into pastors. You know, those are the ones we visit, and then we consult them, all these papas. And we have one around here already next door. And when I was just coming, found a lot of, buses coming down here. There was a crusade for about 3 days downstairs, down there. And then today is the final day. Makandiwa is around, and everybody is flocking there. We like that kind of vision of Christianity, because when you are exposed to the scripture, you feel like it's boring. You know, you are excited to go and find out from these people. Why? Because these village witch doctors are, and I always tell you this, these village witch doctors we have in Africa, they claim to have connections that nobody else has. They have connections to the other world. And if you want to know anything about what is happening in your life, and we believe the other world is aware of what is going on in your life, there's someone in between who happens to be the mediator. He's the person who is going to tell you what is going on. Maybe it's your aunt, maybe it's your dad, maybe it's somebody who is not happy with your life, who is really against you. And so we want to be sure. That's where you go for certainty. And then you finish the whole Lusaka from one place to another, you know, looking for papas who will give you the certainty of what is going on in your life. Where do we go when you want to get assurance of what is going on in your life, whether you are okay or you are not okay. You know, somebody met me the other day and said, "Pastor, I don't think I am okay." I said, why are you saying this? I'm not really sure, but I need someone to tell me that. And that someone, where do you go to get certainty? You go into all these means that we have today, you know. People who claim to say they have connections with God more than anyone else. So when you come to church like this, I may stand here and claim to be the one who has a unique connection to God. And then everybody else should see me if you want to know something about God. And therefore, I become your papa. After the church service, you see me, you know. And one brother was joking one day after the service on Sunday, and he asked me, "Pastor, this is the end of the service. Can I see you?" I said, "You've already seen me. I want to talk to you." I thought it was something more close to the scriptures and the Bible and the sermon. But he wanted to consult me about what is going on in their lives, if I am able to see. "Pastor, Abusa, mumaona." I said, "Yes, but I can you see?" He said, "Yes, mumaona, I can see." "What do you mean?" I knew what he meant. "Mumaona, Abusa." I said, "Yes, mumaona, yeah, you've got a problem. I've got a problem." So he wanted me to act as a guru, as a person who has got a connection with the other world, and then I can tell that person everything that is going on. This is where we go for certainty in Africa. We want to be sure of what is going on in our lives. But the Apostle John writes here in chapter 5, he gives the church unwavering certainty, the certainty of our salvation. How are you going to be sure that you are really saved and you are in good terms with God? The certainty of our salvation, the certainty of the truth that we need to know about God, and the certainty of eternal life. In our credo, one thing we just said at the end of it is we also believe in the everlasting life. How certain are you? Where do you go to get your certainty that where you are seated, you really have eternal life? Where do you go? How certain are you that you have been born in God's family? You are a child of God. You are a son and a daughter of the Creator. How sure are you? Where do you go to get the certainty of these things? Apostle John is giving us unwavering certainty in all of these things. Get your Bibles. You'll agree with me that the word to know, or the verb to know, is actually key in this passage. And many times it is repeated. Maximum of 9 times John has repeated the verb to know. Have a look at verse 2, for instance, of chapter 5. This is what John says. "By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and obey his commandment." By this we know. First time he uses the verb to know. Look at verse 13 of the same chapter. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know," second time, "that you have eternal life." That you may know that you have eternal life. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, actually, it is repeated twice. Look at verse 15. "And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." Look at verse 18. "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him." Look at verse 19. Again, the same verb comes again. "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." Look at verse 20. He goes again with the same verb. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding." And you see that the verb to know, brothers and sisters, is very key here. It underscores a very key theme in this passage. Christians are not called to guess. Christians are not called to hope blindly. We are called to know with confidence what God has accomplished to us. We don't have to live in a guess kind of attitude. You are guessing? No. That's why John has repeated 9 times the verb to know. Because as Christians, we don't live blindly. We have the assurance, we have the certainty of the things that we believe. And John wants all Christians to know with confidence, not kukai kila, not having doubts, not living in a mist, but you need to know with confidence everything that God has accomplished for us. It's about assurance, it's about certainty. And I'm discouraging you, brothers and sisters, this morning to look for means and ways where you think you'll get the certainty of these things. You go and consult the gurus. You go and consult those who claim to have a special connection with God, the papas and the prophets and others. John is giving us unwavering assurance this morning as we go through these things. Let us consider 3 vital assurances from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. 3 vital assurances. The first one is the assurance of the new birth. The assurance of the new birth. You know that John was writing near the end of the first century, AD, when the church was under threat from false teachings. Particularly, the church was attacked by what we already explained, the protognostic teachers. And these were heresies, were false teachings that were all around. They were denying the humanity of Jesus, that Jesus is not come in this world as fully human. Some of them were denying the full deity of Christ, that Jesus was not fully God. And some of them believed that something came on Jesus, which they called Christ. Christ was an influence that came in Jesus when Jesus was being baptized. And that influence departed from Jesus just before the cross. Hence, Jesus on the cross was crying, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" So these false teachers were all around, and they were actually undermining the truth that the churches received from the apostles. So they claimed to have a very secret knowledge, and that knowledge was not available for everyone. It was not accessible for everyone. Only the elite, the small group of people, who had that knowledge. And for you to have that knowledge, you need to visit them. They initiate you to that secret knowledge, which was different from the knowledge that the churches received from the apostles. And once you get access to that secret knowledge, then you'll be able to escape this body, because they believed that the body was evil and the spirit was good. And salvation, for someone to be saved, one has to escape the body. And how do you escape the body? You need to be given that secret knowledge. And that knowledge is not accessible to everyone. It only belongs to the gurus. This is very much close to what our papas are doing today. Because our papas also, they believe to have a special kind of connection with God that nobody else has. Come, I pray for you. I will pray for you. I will pray. It's all about me praying for you. That papa does not need your prayer. You are the one who needs his prayer, because his prayer is very special, because he's got a certain connection with God that you don't have. And they've made us believe that this is true. You tend to believe that your pastor has got stronger connections to God than anyone else. What a lie. What a lie. And this is what is going around. And then once you believe that your papa has got more connection than you don't have the connection, then you become a victim. You can believe anything that this particular person will tell you, even if it doesn't make sense. Because we have been taught in Zambia, particularly here in Zambia and in the whole of Africa, that we don't argue with village witch doctors. We don't. It is not part of our culture. When you visit a village witch doctor, mwenda kunganga, viri vonsa mene nganga akuzani, ulozi vikupangirani sensi, vipanga sensi kuri heve. You need to believe. and follow. Even when you've got degrees from the universities of Zambia, you fall prey to a nonsense of that papa that is telling you, because we've been told already that you don't argue with a village doctor for many reasons, because you are afraid that the village witch doctor might bewitch you, you might end up being mad and so forth. And this is what even our papas are telling us, to say, I can pray a dangerous prayer if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, because I've got connections with God. And this is the time when John is writing these things, and he's telling them, you don't have to believe that we have a people who claim to have a special connection with God. This is not where you get your assurance that you've been born of God. Now, where you are seated, brothers and sisters, this morning, you are here, you have been born once, and you are very sure where you are seated that you have been born into a particular family. How sure are you that you have a new birth? Where do you go? John gives us the assurance that we should know that we are children of God. Have a look at verse 1. The first one he gives us is the fact of trusting in God, faith. Have a look at verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of God. Two times he uses the word has been born, the phrase has been born of God, which is the perfect tense. And the significance of that perfect tense, it is that the event of being born, it is not a process. You are born once, and then you are now going through an ongoing result of the birth. We are all born in God's family only once, and then we go through some results that will actually prove that you've been born from God. Everyone who believes. So faith in God is the first evidence that should give you assurance that you are a daughter of God's family. You are a son of God's family. And this faith is talking about is not a magical thing. No, it is that assurance of trust in God. Faith is not the cause, but the evidence of the new birth. How are you going to know that you have been born again in God's family? It is because you have trust in God that can never be shaken. And that faith is not something that you've made up yourself. It is a gift from God. God has given you faith that is a gift that you will continue to trust in God. Even when you go through thick and thin, even when you go through situations that are very difficult, God will give you trust in Him. Just that trust that can never be shaken is an evidence that you have been born in God's family. All those who have been born once in God's family, they've got this gift of faith. Keep on trusting God, even when they don't see where they are going. They don't understand, why do I put this trust in God? It is a gift God has given you as a sign that you belong to God's family. Faith is a gift. That's the assurance. You don't have to visit a guru. You don't have to visit a village witch doctor for you to be sure. If you want to know that you are a member of God's family, John tells us that all those who have been born from God, they believe. And that word, verb to believe, is in the present indicative tense to show that they keep on believing. You have been born once in God's family, but you keep on trusting in God. Just that attitude of keep on trusting in God, it is the first sign, according to John, that you are a member of God's family. You have been born in God's family. You keep trusting in God, always. We've been born only once. Brothers and sisters, we know that to be born in God's family, it is not a process. It is an event that took place in the past with ongoing results. If you've been born in God's family once, it will show as you keep on trusting in God. you may be falling into the hands of those who would like to mislead you. Or sometimes things may not be going your way. But you keep on trusting God who understands everything. Because you don't get everything you go through. You don't. You continue to trust God. Sometimes you go through something that you do not like. And through in your heart you say, I don't like what I'm going through. At times you go through something that you do not fully understand. And you say, I don't fully understand what is going on in my family and my life. At times you go through something that you do not agree with. You say, even if I'm going through, but I don't agree. But because you have been born of God, whether you know, you agree or don't agree, you keep trusting God. You trust God who understands everything. So that keep on trusting in God, according to John, it is a sign that you have been born in God's family. Friend, we know in many traditional African settings, we know that we've been born in a... When some people think that when you've been born in a Christian home, therefore I am a member of God's family. It's not that. You can be part of a family of a Christian home, but that does not make you a Christian. You can be visiting those so-called... prayer nights, the ones that people do every eve of the new year. How do you call them though? Crossover nights. How many crossover nights have you attended and then with so many promises from our gurus, the papas, those who tap anointing in the world of the unseen. At the end of December, when you come, and they are very clever, these papas, when they make promises and coincidentally those promises work, they take credit. But when they don't work, they blame you. It is your faith that is little. You didn't pray too much. You didn't pray too much. You didn't have faith in God. But when they work, it's them. It's me. I've prayed for you. They take credit. Friends, you want to be sure that you have been born in God's family? John has given us one evidence. Keep on trusting in God. Even when you don't understand what you're going through, you trust the Lord God who understands everything. He is sovereign, and God, He is the sovereign God who understands everything that you're going through. Because Tachepa, God does not explain to us everything He allows in our lives. Tachepa, you can't get it. It's like you have a little baby in your home, and as a child is growing, that child, there's a certain age where the child begins to ask so many questions. You don't provide all the answers at that particular time, because you know that at this particular age, this particular child will not get it. Friends, we can't comprehend. We are too small to understand what God is doing. We will never understand everything on this side of heaven, but we trust God. That everything God has allowed in your life, in my life, there is much wisdom. It is our lack of understanding that we keep complaining. It's what we don't get. Trust. It's like you visit, an eating place like Nando's, because it's my favorite. You visit Nando's, or you visit Galitos, or you visit whatever your favorite is. You visit that place because you have much trust in that restaurant. You don't go beyond the curtain. All you go, because you have trust in them, what you do, you just press an order. You sit and wait for the food. You don't go on the other side and trying to see how they are cooking it. Because you trust them, right? You are just waiting. Whatever they do there, whether it's nonsense, sometimes they put their saliva there and so forth, it's none of your business. You've already trusted them. You just eat. This is what we must do. God is beyond the curtain, dear brothers and sisters. He's cooking for us. Just sit and relax. He's going to put there for you. Trust everything the Lord is doing. Whether you understand or not, whatever my lot, I have been taught to say, it is well with my soul. Whatever God has put on the table as your lot, you may not fully understand it today. Maybe we will understand by and by. As we get there, we might probably be able to understand why God has allowed certain situations in your life. Do you really want to know if you have been born of God? John tells us, those who have been born of God, they keep on trusting God. Whether they understand it or not, they keep on trusting God. Why God has allowed you to be born in Africa, in that particular family, the Lord knows. He knows. Why he has allowed a situation, sometimes I even, you know, I would tell my children sometimes, you know, you may think why God has given this as our dad. He knows, even if it's a bad one. There's much wisdom into it. You must trust this great God. All those who have been born of God, what do? They trust in God. And that trust is not a one-time event. To be born of God is an event, but to trust God is an ongoing kind of character all believers have. Even when you're in sick bed, you keep trusting God. Even things that don't go your way, you trust God. Even when you say, God, give me this, but he give you that, you give trust on what God has given you. Because sometimes he doesn't give us what we pray. At times God says yes to our prayers. At times God says no to our prayers. We trust the yes of no of God. We also trust the no of God. And when you go to God, explain to me why have you said no. Wachepa, you can't understand. Trust God. He knows why he has actually allowed that situation to happen. Friend, you've been born in the family of God. How do you know? You know because you trust God. And the second thing he tells us, look at verse, the second part of verse B, of verse 1, the B. This is what he says. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. The second evidence is love. Do you really want to know? Do you want to be very certain that you've been born in God's family? You must see if there is love in you. And this love is not an emotional love. It's not a feeling that comes and goes. It's not something that follows the circumstances because of interest of something. This is the love of God that you love even the unlovable. You don't even understand, why do I love this brother? Why do I love this sister? You don't even get it because you have been taught by God himself. The love of God is unconditional. The love of God is so practical and so sacrificial. No interest at all. And this is the sign of all those who have been born of God. The certainty we have is the love that God has given us. We love God so much that we even love the brothers around. How do we love our brothers? We love them sacrificially. How do we love our brothers? We love them unconditionally. We don't put conditions to love them. Just that is an evidence that you've been born of God. You don't need to visit a papa to know whether you're a child of God. You must just check in you whether the love that you have is a genuine love for the brothers. Or it's a love that has got more interest. There's something you are looking into. And this is why you are showing some kind of love, which is just a feeling that comes and goes. The love of the Bible is not a feeling. The love of the Bible is an action. It's a decision you decide to love if the person, even when that person is not lovable, you love them as they are. John tells us that that is a very big reason for you to be certain. The love that you have for God and for others is not what saves you, but it's what that helps you to know that you are saved, that you are part of God's family. We love even our enemies. We love them. And that love comes from God. You love even the person who has offended you many times. God has given you grace to love them. Friend, if we love God today, we know that it is because God loved us first. We were unlovable, but God has shown his love on us. We don't deserve his love. You don't. I don't. At times you tend to lie to yourself and think you deserve. Probably because you come to church regularly. Probably because you think I give regularly and God loves you. You don't deserve God's love. But God has loved you as you are. With all your ugly things in your life. things that you do privately that are so ugly, you feel ashamed of yourself many times when you do them, but he loves you the same. Our love depends on our knowledge of people. Human love, most of the time we love each other because we don't even know each other better. The day you happen to know your friend better, you stop loving them. It's because you don't know them, that's why you think you love them. The moment you know there are other parts of who they are, you stop loving them. And that shows that that was not love. It was just ignorance at all. But remember what the Bible says about God. The love of God is so deep. And there's a song that we sing that you know everything about me, but you love me the same. You know the depth of my heart. You know even the stupid things I think every single day, even right now. You know them, but you continue to love me the same. That's the love of God. God knows the issues that you've gone through in the past. He knows your future, all your weaknesses, but he loves you just as you are. It's an amazing love. It's an amazing love. It is this love actually, you know, it puts us in a wow. That's the love God has given all his children. Do you really want to know that you're a member of God's family? John tells us those who love God, they also love one another. We love brothers and sisters. Our love has no limits. It's not a tribal love. No. It's not about tribalism. I love that particular brother because we speak the same language. We go to the same church. You love whoever you meet. The love of God which has no limit, that love that you cannot explain, is the love of God that God has given all his children. And that shows for sure that you are a member of God's family. Look, again, it's not only about love. It's also about obedience. They obey his command. Look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That way we get the certainty. Keeping the commandment of God does not save you, does not save me, but it is evidence that we have been born of God's family. And the word commandment here in the original Bible, it is the revealed will of God. It's not the will that you get from a papa. When you meet someone and say, Pastor, don't you have a word of God for me? God has already spoken in Scripture. And we need to keep what God has already revealed. We don't trust in our dreams. And I put it very clear to all my family members. They don't even tell me whatever dream they have for me. They don't. I have a dream about you, what God is saying. I've already told them that I've had enough of those dreams. Because I don't trust my own dreams first. It's just a dream. I don't trust, and this is God speaking to me. Why should you come with your dream, which I don't even know whether you dreamed or not? I trust the revealed word of God. I don't know what was going on in your mind for you to have that dream. How can I trust? I trust the revealed word of God. The word of God that has been given to us in the pages of Scripture. All those who have been born of God, they keep what God has already revealed. What God has already given them, the Bible, the Scripture. This is a sign, brothers and sisters. Do you want to be certain that you have been born in God's family? You want to be certain that you have been born again in God's family? John tells us that number one is about keep on trusting in God. Number two is the love of God and the love of the brothers and sisters, unconditionally and in practical terms. And number three is that desire of always keeping what God has already revealed. You are fascinated by what God has already given in the Scripture. Your Bible, you read your Bible all the time, and your disposition is to listen to what God has already revealed in Scripture. You are not here and there following the papas around and all the dreams around. You have fallen in love with the Bible. Once you fall in love with the Scriptures, it is a very big sign that you have been born in God's family. This is what John is telling us. You want to be certain that you're a child of God. It's not about your circumstances. You may be going through some diverse circumstances and so forth. That does not really mean that you are not a child of God. Sometimes you may go through the ups and downs of life, but as long as you are a child of God, God understands what you are going through. You are part of God's family. And that's a fellowship. We encourage one another. You'll be surprised when you visit a real believer in their sick bed, when they are dying. They are dying with confidence. They know. Sometimes you visit a believer who is sick, you tend to think you will encourage them. When you get there, they are the ones encouraging you. Yes, they are not like doubting at all. They are very sure that they belong to God's family. And the Lord God has decided to take them through whatever they are going through. Whether they understand or not, they keep on trusting and loving God. You know, this is a first sign, assurance that we have that we believe in God. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. Look at what John tells us in verse 4. He tells, for everyone who has been born of God, everyone has been, what do? They overcome the world. They are not overtaken by the influence and the fashion of the world. No. They overcome. They go countercultural. Everybody is going on this direction. They go in the negative direction. God gives them power and strength to overcome the world, the desires of the world. They are not overtaken by what is going on in this world, the lust of the eyes, the pornography, you know, and people have been overtaken by all of things, sex and power and money and a desire for pleasure. All those who have been born of God, John tells us that these people, they overcome the world. They are not following the cultural trend where everybody is going. They follow what the scripture has given them. How do they manage? It's because they've been born of God. They are part and parcel of God's family. Wherever they go, it's not culture that dictates what they do. It's the scriptures. Even when they are going through death, they've lost their loved ones. Our culture will bring all sorts of things to make you fear. But because these are part and parcel of God's family, they overcome all this nonsense of our cultural trend. God gives them strength to overcome. Do you want to know? Do you want to be very certain that you've been born in God's family? John tells us that all those who have been born of God, you should not lie to yourself. They overcome the world. They are not following the trend of this world. No. They are actually victorious. And how do they get their victory? John tells us it's because they trust God. The victory comes because, look at that verse once again, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We don't trust ourselves. We trust God to overcome the world. We are living in a world that is more influential, and at times you don't know where it's taking us, but we manage to stand because we don't trust ourselves, because our faith is in God. We put our trust in God, we overcome this world. And verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes, who keep on believing? The one who keeps on believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the assurance, brothers, we have. Our assurance is not about feelings. Because if you want to put your assurance of salvation on your feelings are not stable. There are days that you wake up, you don't feel like you are even a child of God. Because your feelings are not something you can trust. Whether you feel it or not, it's not about feelings. It's about the truth of the Word of God. You may fall into temptation one day or someday, but you still have a strong conviction that I belong to God's family. This is not my life. This is not where I belong. You may be misled by your friend. You visit a place that makes you uncomfortable. You even fall into sin. But that does not change the fact that you belong to God's family. You will be uncomfortable. You won't have peace in that particular situation until your heart tells you, go back to where you belong. Because you are a child of God, you'll never stay there forever. No. Because you want to keep the revealed world of God. You belong to God and you overcome the trend of this world. There are so many things that come. Internet has brought so many things, some of them good, some of them they are evil. But all those who have been born of God, they overcome the world. I'm speaking to students who are in the universities. Sometimes you get there, your professors may try to mislead you with a different worldview altogether. But remember, you are in that university as a child of God. You've been born of God's family. You should not fall prey to anything that is going on that campus. Why? Because you don't belong to the world. You belong to the people of God. And because you belong to the people of God, you must bear a testimony of who you are as a Christian. Sometimes they propose to sleep with you so they give you good marks. You said, I overcome the world. I am a Christian. If it means to fail, I'll fail because I don't want to compromise. I'll trust God. God will give you a way to go. Even at work. You know, we have a lot of compromise. At place of work, sometimes they force you to do certain things that are not right. All those who have been born of God, they overcome the world. How do they overcome the world? By their own strength? No. How do they overcome? It's because they trust in God. God should give you the strength to do that. Assurance of being born in God's family. I'm sure when you get out of this place today, you should be certain. You should be certain whether you belong to God's family or you deceive yourself or you lie yourself because you just go to church like a church goer. Victory. We belong to God. You should examine yourself. The second assurance that we have is the assurance of divine testimony. Assurance of the truth that we have. In the first century, Greco-Roman world, legal testimony had to be verified by multiple witnesses. You can see that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19 and verse 15. Most of the time, they would require two or three witnesses to settle the matter. When you stand in a court of law, they will ask you, do you have witnesses? And for them to stand and verify whatever you are saying, your claims, at least you need to have two or three witnesses for you to stand, to help you. And in this passage, John tells us the truth concerning Jesus. The truth concerning Jesus, and he brings about three witnesses. And you need to be sure and certain about the witnesses that we get. The first one we see there is the witness of water and blood. Look at verse 6. This is he, he's talking about Jesus. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water and only, but the water and the blood. The first testimony we know concerning the truth about Jesus is that Jesus came by water and by blood. What does it mean? You know, by water is referring to his baptism, and by blood is referring to the death of Jesus. Jesus came when he was being baptized, that's the day the Father declared, "This is my son. This is my son, and today I am pleased with him." We have that assurance that Jesus is the Son of God because of the testimony of his baptism. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the King of the people of God because God has declared him on the day of baptism. He came by water. That's the first testimony we have, and we are certain about it. The second testimony we have, he also came by blood. Jesus died on the cross. His death is historical. The baptism of Jesus is a historical event. You go back in history, you verify this is true. The death of Jesus Christ is not an invention. It's a historical event. The Christian faith is based on historical facts that we have. We are not just daydreaming about what we believe. We have testimonies, strong testimonies. The first one is the testimony of the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of God's people. The second testimony is the testimony of the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross. He died on the cross as a human being, on the cross, real death. Jesus died, and it's a testimony of all believers. But John goes on to give us the third testimony. It's the testimony of the Spirit. Look at what he says in that verse once again. In verse 6, not by the water, only by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Verse 7, For there are three that testify. You cannot beat them. The spirits and the water and the blood. And these three, they all agree. The Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. Brothers, our Christian faith, authentic Christianity, is based on historical facts. Jesus came by water, blood, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies to all of this. We have the testimony of all these witnesses. Do you want to be certain? And we have three witnesses. You have to be confident on what you believe, that Jesus came. Let's go to the last one as we wind up. The last point, we'll be looking at the assurance of eternal life. This is a very, very, very important truth. We just from declaring what we believe. And the last thing we said in the Apostles' Creed is that we believe in life everlasting. But let me say up front that the life that John is talking about here is not the bio, the life that you get like biology, because the Greek has got two words for life. The first is the bios, where we get the word biology, you know, the life, the human life that we have that animates your body. John is using another word here, which is the Zoe. He's talking about the life of God. He's talking about the real life that we share in God. It's not the life that you're going to have, the life that we have today. John is not talking only about everlasting life in the sense of life that does not end. Listen to me. Whenever John is talking about life that the believers have received, he's not necessarily talking about the duration of life. That it's life that does not end. Although that is true, but that's not the emphasis of John. John is talking about the quality of life. Not necessarily about the duration of life, but the quality of life that God has given all members of his family. If you belong to God's family, you've got a Zoe. You've, apart from the bios, the life that you have as a human being, you've got a different kind of life God has given you, the life of the people of God, life that can never tolerate being in sin. You know, when you fall into sin, you cannot survive there. Why? Because the seed of the life of God is in you. You've got a certain life of quality that will always push you to be among the people of God. How sure are you that you have eternal life? You have that kind of life. Wherever you go, you are a child of God. You have eternal. And John does not want us to be in doubt. He wants us to know. Look at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know. It's about the assurance of being in God's family, the life that God himself has given us. And friends, this life has changed us. It's a life that transforms us, life that gives you forgiveness. You are able to forgive by God's grace because of the life God has given us, a quality life. The life that when you offend your friend, you cannot go in peace for a year and you forget about it. Something wrong with you. What kind of life? When you know you are the offender and you can eat your beans and your food and your derere and your chicken with peace, something is wrong with you. Because if you are a true believer and you are into sin, the life of God will never allow you to be at peace. It doesn't matter how much you have in your Airtel money account. It doesn't matter how much you have in your account. As long as you have gone away from God, you'll never be at peace because of the life God has given you. Look at the life of King David. David is a king. He's got everything with him. But when he falls into sin, he has no peace. And in his prayer, he's asking God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Why? Because the joy of salvation is connected to the relationship with God, not to how much you have in your account. You may have a lot of money, everything may be going on well, but as long as you have already gone, drifted away from God, because of the eternal life that God has already deposited in you, the quality of life will never make you feel peace in that kind of situation. You always come to God. You forgive all the time because God has given you eternal life. Brothers, we must be sure of the life God has given. This is not something that we'll get in heaven. Eternal life is something we have today. It's a quality of life. The life that will always push you to go and stay with your friends in church, fellowship with believers, pray all together, reading the word of God, forgiving, and a joy that you can't explain. Even when things are tough in your life, you've got joy that you can't explain. You know why? Because of eternal life. Even people around you, they wonder, how are you managing your life? It's because of the eternal life that God has given you. Eternal life that gives you peace to go through trials of life. God has given this life as we go through. Even as we pray, look at verse 7, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We have confidence that we have a Father. Confidence in prayer. This prayer is not manipulation. Because when you visit these other churches, they use prayer as a manipulation. You manipulate God. In African traditional religion, prayer is a manipulation of the gods. Sometimes you beat up yourself. Sometimes you deny yourself what to eat and how to eat and so forth, so that you impress the gods. Mulungu wao amenivuti kazona. Na kudedi sinigona. Stampon chimozi. We tend to think we can impress God with everything we do. No. But as a believer, we have confidence that our confidence is not in our prayers. Our confidence is in God who answers prayer. It doesn't matter how much you pray. What matters is the Lord God we trust who answers our prayer. We can't impress God. You know, God has given us prayer not to inform him. He's already aware of what you are going through. Prayer is not for information. God has given us prayer not to impress him. No, you can't impress God with a lot of words and, you know, beating up yourself and so forth and so on. No, God has given us prayer not for him to impress him, not even to instruct him. You can't instruct God because he knows the best. God has given us prayer to help us depend on him. That we can't manage on our own. We run to God. We have confidence in this God who answers our prayer. Because we are his children. He understands. And we have confidence in his protection. Have a look at verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. No. Can they sin? Yes. Can they keep on sinning? No. John says no. Can they sin? Yes, they can sin, because John has already told us that we are in this flesh, we can fall into sin. But they will never continue to sin as a way of life where they enjoy it. John tells us, no, if this is your lifestyle of enjoying sin all the way, you are at peace. It is a very big assurance that you do not belong to God's family. If you are a member of God's family, you don't keep on sinning. You have that protection. You protect yourself from all these other things. And you have a protection from God. I like what he says in verse 19. Wow. Look at verse 19. We know. This is something we don't dream. We know that we belong, we are from God. This is what we know. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. One thing we know is we belong to God. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. We are not afraid. We are not, friends. What a powerful assurance we have as believers, especially in Africa, where people use our fear to manipulate us. Because all these papas, they create first and foremost fear in you. Once you are afraid, they begin to manipulate you. We, as people who have been born in God's family, we know that we are from God. And the whole world is under the power of the evil one, but we are from God. God is looking after us. We are not afraid of that papa who is a witch, of that neighbor who has killed so many people. They belong to the world. We are from God. We sleep and relax. Why? Because God is protecting us. No one should come and give you a lot of wait to disturb you. You should know this. These are things we must know and trust in God. Look at the last admonition. John tells us in verse 21, little children, keep yourself from idols. What a way of ending his letter. Keep yourself from idols. Anything that takes the place of God in your life is an idol. Could be power, could be pleasure, could be your studies, your performance, could be pornography or sex or anything that takes. John is telling us, keep yourself from idols. We must treasure God and his people. Church should not be something you take as an option. You are a child of God. How are you going to survive without belonging to the family of God? Something's wrong with you. Friend, look at these assurances that we have. Assurance is a new birth. Assurance that we have in the divine testimony and the assurance of the eternal life that we have. We believe in that. Go out of this place with full of confidence. If you are a child of God, you belong to God's family. Whether things are going on well or not, you belong to this God who is with you. We are from God. The whole world is under the power of the evil one. Amen.